You're listening to the Bloodroot Podcast, the show that empowers listeners to explore the deep roots of their family history by preserving stories, advocating truth, restoring context, and fostering healing. I'm your host, Sherry Daniels.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Bloodroot Podcast. On today's episode, Roots Tech, Juneteenth, and Education, the parties that never end. Join me for a multi-layered episode with Roots Tech 2023 guests and a special Juneteenth announcement that is tied to education all year long. I promise they're all related, so stay tuned. Hello, Bloodroot family. It's been a brief eon since I spoke to you last, and I sincerely apologize for the lapse in episodes. Last year, my entire world was upended by a job change that required a tremendous amount of my attention. In a nutshell, I went from managing the library and archives of a state historical society to that of a national lineage society. The full story is on my website under Major Plot Twist, and spoiler alert, I am now the director of the Library and Archives for the National Society of the Sons of the American Revolution. Their national headquarters, which is in Louisville, Kentucky, houses a magnificent genealogy library and archive, and I hope to share much more with you over the coming years. For more information about the library and to keep up with our events and content, including videos, check out our library website at library.sar.org. Now back to our episode. The main theme for today is, in its purest essence, Roots Tech, but not in the general way you might think. For those of you not keeping up with genealogy conference news, the Roots Tech conference was back in person this year, just a few months ago. They also had virtual sessions for those not attending in Salt Lake City, and I was fortunate enough to have sessions in both formats, in person and online. As always, any of my sessions over the past 3 years that were recorded can still be viewed on my speaker profile at the rootstech.org website. Which brings me to the educational nature of Roots Tech. With the years of COVID bringing so many virtual sessions to the site, combined with the live-streamed sessions from the in-person events, Roots Tech is hoping to become known as a worldwide source for genealogy education all year long. And they are off to a fantastic start. Classes from many countries around the world in several languages can be found throughout the site at any time, on demand, not just during the yearly conference. To keep this educational momentum fresh, ever since the 2023 in-person event, FamilySearch has been hosting additional live classes each month to fit with selected themes. So far, since March, they have covered women's history and DNA. For June, they are hosting sessions about African American history and genealogy in order to celebrate the Juneteenth holiday. In fact, the sessions in June are scheduled for the whole day on Monday, June 19th, and can be found for free via a few different FamilySearch platforms, Facebook, YouTube, and the Roots Tech website. The class lineup for Juneteenth is full of great sessions, and I'm honored to have been selected as host of a panel session that centers on a very special project that I'm privileged to be a part of. The title of the session is From Ali to Clay, Taking the Family Narrative to DNA. This panel brings together a ragtag group of genealogists, historians, curators, and DNA experts to discuss the generations-old family mystery of the origins of Muhammad Ali's clay ancestry. Many of you may not know that Muhammad Ali's original name was Cassius Clay, and that he was born in Louisville, Kentucky, to a long line of African-American clays. Ali's family narrative, as recorded by journalists in the 1980s, identified Kentucky Senator Henry Clay as the progenitor of this clay line. With the enslaver identified as the direct line ancestor, you can imagine the challenges that go with trying to confirm this amazing story. This is where the panel comes in. Join me and panelists genealogist Keith Winstead, genealogist and RootsTech speaker Donald Shores, curator of Henry Clay's Ashland Estate Eric Brooks, and Family Tree DNA representative and RootsTech speaker Sherman McRae, as we discuss the research challenges and strategies that accompany such a project. Our session goes live at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the multiple platforms listed previously. And in case you missed the live version, check out the recording at a later date on the FamilySearch YouTube channel. The rest of today's episode covers the 2023 RootsTech Conference in Reflection. As you may remember, this was the first year that the conference was held in person once again after COVID. Historically, that's a big deal. Was it back to normal? Somehow different? And if so, in a good way or a bad way? Stay tuned for an after-party session I had with first-time RootsTech speakers Linda Colston, Deborah Maddox, and Donald Shores. Linda had attended RootsTech in person a few times previously, but this was Deborah's first time, and Donald participated from afar as he and I held a live-streamed virtual session, which can be found on the FamilySearch and RootsTech outlets. Since the 2023 event was touted as a hybrid event, each of my guests had a unique perspective. And now, the 2023 RootsTech After Party. Welcome back to the Bloodroot Podcast. I am now joined by some co-RootsTech attendees for 2023. I've got Deborah Maddox, who's a staff genealogist with the Sons of the American Revolution, our national headquarters here in Louisville. Linda Colston, who is a genealogist. She is headquartered in Frankfort, Kentucky. She's also a former colleague of mine from the Kentucky Historical Society. And then Donald Shores, he's a genealogist based out of Missouri. The common denominator with all three of these folks is that we all presented together in some format during the conference. Deborah, Linda, and I presented a panel session on Saturday, the last day of the conference in Salt Lake City. And Donald and I also on Saturday, wasn't it? We had our live stream in the morning, very early in the morning for those of us in Salt Lake City. That live stream session, we were discussing navigating racial challenges with DNA matches. And that one, it was recorded and is available on the RootsTech website. So welcome, everyone. We're having basically an after party. We're going to kind of just chat about what were your impressions this year. I'm going to start out. So this was your first year for all of you, or I know some of you attended virtually in the past. What's your all's experience for this year? Where are you on that?
It's my third year, as Sherry knows, because she's been with me all three times.
With you.
And I've also watched it virtually and stuff, but there's nothing like seeing it in person.
It's my 10th year of following it. Ever since it came on the radar, if you will, I've known about it. But in the last couple of years when it went virtual where we could watch the stuff, I started doing that. But this is my first year attending. And wow, is all I can say. I mean, everyone had always commented about how big it was. And I was like, yeah, okay, right. It's not really that big. I mean, you know, right. One person's big is another person's meh.
Yeah.
When I saw the number of people and just the floor space for all the booths and everything, it was really impressive. So
yeah. What was so funny is this was a smaller group than in years past.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This would have been my first experience with RootsTech. I had known about it for probably the last 3 years when I really started jumping into genealogy. I'm definitely glad that it was that you were able to attend virtually, because unfortunately I wasn't able to make it. But I was impressed by the different topics and different areas. A lot of information on how to do researching, some great explanation on DNA, also information about different cultures. As an African-American male, I was glad that there were some presentations on that, which obviously will help me and give me some suggestions because it is difficult to find information. But overall, I was impressed. I've been able to go back and watch some sessions that were recorded and still have some on my list that I'm still trying to get to. But overall, it was a great experience, especially for the first time. Very fun to present and have a chance to have some dialogue and discuss some things that sometimes for some people are difficult to discuss. So overall, I would say the experience was really good for the first time out, and hopefully I can make it out. But if not, I will definitely be attending virtually for the near foreseeable future down the road. Absolutely.
And I think that's the really important part about RootsTech is that it has really evolved over the years. It's still been a little over a decade, I guess. It started in 2011, and I was there for the first year. Another colleague of mine was presenting, and then I went out in 12 because I was working at KHS at the time. And then my first presentation I presented in 2014, but then I didn't go out again until like 19, because it's expensive. It's expensive to go out to Salt Lake City, the whole thing, the flight, the rooms, like everything around out there. It's not exorbitantly expensive and, you know, compared to other cities. It's just, it's a big trip. And so I didn't even put any proposals in until, you know, 2019, since 14. And the thing is, yeah, it was small in 11, but it was even in 11, its first year, it about doubled the normal attendance of the regular National Genealogical Society conferences. So that was already out of the gate, was really big. And then just every year, you know, would get bigger. I'd say within maybe like year three or four, they took over the entire Salt Palace instead of just the northern part. And so it got really huge. Linda can attest, and you know, by 2020, when COVID shut down, that was probably its largest year. They said, including taking into consideration the numbers of like the children, the youth that came, that all of that together was in the neighborhood of 30,000 attendees that year. Then COVID shut us down. But now that we're back open in person, and it is less, the thing about this is that it has evolved so wonderfully with COVID, because they went so virtual. Mm-hmm. They tapped into that worldwide audience that they just cannot turn their back on, and rightly so. I mean, that now makes it more inclusive, because they've got sessions from all over the world in multiple languages, and that is just, I mean, that's such a great evolution for this conference. And I think it's just, I think it'll always be hybrid in some way because of all that.
I was going to say, just what's really cool about it is it also opens that door to other conferences to say, you need to be inclusive. You need to include and think about all of these other demographics that they've never touched before and never even, you know, made it to their radar. And that's what's important, is to be able to know that, you know, they are really starting to create that dialogue of, who else have we forgotten, and let's bring them up and bring them into the fold.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's one of the things I like, is that they seem to have a theme every year, but they still also enhance and grow the methodology, the different cultures, the different types of research and stuff. So it's, they're building everything, and yet they can carry through with the theme. And so you've got something for everyone. Those who go on a regular basis, it's a new theme to focus on. I think this year it was basically stories that they were really pushing in the exhibit hall and throughout the seminar. But they also had the regular stuff, per se, the, you know, learning about German records, African-American records, you know, English records, just some of the basics, as well as some of the methodology of researching. And you've got the Family Search Library, which...
Yes.
Kind of helps to justify the cost for some people.
True. That's very true. I think also it's interesting to me how the very first design for RootsTech was to be more of a tech conference, so that the programmers and the users could talk together and kind of work out bugs and kind of help with strategic direction of where these products were going. And
I was very sad over many years where they kind of lost that. They really, really, really moved away from that because there were sections in the conference in the earlier years where you had unconferency sessions, where you had literally these tech companies were kind of doing almost like little mini focus groups, you know, showing new features. Now they still do that. They still release new features. They just don't do the small little interactions that they used to. But I've noticed it still has that tech feel to it. If you think about it, AI was showed up big this year, where Storied was one of the major, it's a whole new company. We never heard of it before myself. And I still need to go look at it. I really haven't had time to explore yet on that one.
I heard somewhere, it may have been on one of the podcasts I listened to, it is a renamed
company.
It was originally something else, and now they've reformatted and kind of renamed, and I don't know, I even went onto their website to find out if I could figure out what the old name was, and I couldn't, but I need to go back and re-listen to a couple of podcasts that I think it may have come from, and figure out exactly what the name of it was.
Okay.
But I was thinking about that. I was like, where are these people popping up from out of nowhere? And then when I heard that on whatever podcast it was, I was like, oh, okay.
Right. Interesting.
The name. Yeah.
And Donald, I don't know if you check the exhibit hall when you go on virtually, but sometimes you can get more information about some of that, the different companies and stuff as well. And you might find something there useful.
Okay, yeah, because I was waiting for you guys to get done explaining that. And I was going to ask, because it sounds like you can actually go on and it'll give you information on how to search and what tools to use. Is that what you were trying to explain?
For some of them. For some of their, and some of it's the companies, what they offer and how what they offer enhances things. For instance, there was a company there that Site Builder, CITE, for those wonderful sources we always have to cite. And they've created a program, and they're out of Australia. They created a program where it gives you templates to make it easier to, as you're typing and doing the report, you can just complete the template and your source is done for you without having to look up where the colon goes, where the semicolon goes, where the parentheses go, that kind of thing. And some of these others give you demonstrations of like Storied of the tools they have and how you can use those. Now, some of them, like Johnny Pearl and stuff, will walk you through like DNA Painter, some of the new concepts that he puts on his site. And so it is, some of it's through the exhibits, and then some of it is even through some of the sessions.
And that's one thing I think that totally fell off my radar this year, is that I forgot that when they do virtual sessions like this, that there is a chat function. And so if you just attend virtually and there is the virtual exhibit hall, there is still supposed to be a chat function that when you register or when you log in, you should be able to talk with representatives of. I don't know how that balance went this year. I hadn't heard anybody talk about it. I had heard some people say, hey, is the chat still available for the virtual exhibit hall? I don't know. I just don't know how well that went. Right. Okay. Link is still up. And we're at like, what, 2 weeks since it ended? Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks since it ended. But yeah, I mean, even without the chat, in my opinion, it's still good. In fact, it's still on my to-do list. I want to go back through the exhibit hall list and really look at all these different companies, because there were some new arrivals this year. And plus all the big ones usually announce some new feature at RootsTech. So there's that tech thread that does run through it that I don't see at the other conferences.
That, and as you notice, even with the other conferences, you see less and less actual physical books there.
Right.
Whereas stuff is more and more tech online with programming and stuff.
Right. Right. That's true.
We couldn't have gotten a suitcase back if we'd had any more books.
I was a pound over when I checked into the airport. But that happens every year, it seems too. I have more and more goodies that I come home with. But
yeah, I'm glad you brought that topic up, because for someone like myself, it is definitely easier to go online and be able to try to get as much information as I'm sure it is for a lot of folks, especially someone who doesn't have years of experience of researching. So I will definitely make note of that and try to use those features. I can't find what I was looking for. So that's definitely some good, definitely some good advice and good information. And I'm sure people who are listening to this podcast will agree with that too.
Yeah, it's true. And one of the things too, you were talking about different, we had been talking about some of the different software and things like that and things they release. Also, don't forget a lot of the sessions I know that are recorded are also sometimes sponsored by companies. So like, for instance, Ancestry, MyHeritage, I know they both did several kind of demo. Their sessions, I think they're full sessions, but they are often based on how to use their product. So those are really useful as well. And I'm just going to kind of ask a little bit about buzz. What do you guys think? I mean, Linda, you've been to Roots Tech. You felt the buzz. You know what that means. I think in the COVID years, I still felt a little of the buzz because we were all home. And I, for those who only attend virtually, I would say the best way to get that buzz is to make sure you're in the live stream schedule so that you're like watching it live. And then there's ways to like tweet what you're watching and, you know, to kind of engage in social media as it's happening. But otherwise, what did you guys think? And I will have a little confession in a minute about the buzz, but you guys go ahead.
Well, I've listened to a lot of podcasts and probably more than I really should. But when you have to listen to them at time and a half in order to make sure that you get through all the ones that you're listening to, that's probably a confession that I need to get right here. You know, all the ones that I listen to, everything from Extreme Genes to Family Tree, all of them were talking about, you know, being at Roots Tech or doing it virtually or presenting. I think Lisa Louise Cook was doing something from Genealogy Gems, but she wasn't there in person. She was doing it virtually.
Yeah. So most of them had, I was going to say most of them had episodes or something that was related to being there, right? Like some of them had some live episodes from there, I imagine.
Right.
That's a really good way. That's a really good point. Another way to kind of tap in to the buzz and energy that is Roots Tech. Absolutely. That's cool. Yeah. No, there was a point. My confession was, there was a point in, I don't know, mid to the latter part of the conference. And I was like, Linda, I'm just not feeling it this year. I don't know what's happening. And then I was like, we both looked at it and Linda was like, you're tired. I'll go, you're right. I'm tired. It's like, cause I had six sessions this year. I've never had that many. Deborah was kind enough to be my wonderful assistant in the two workshops that we had over at the Family Search Library, which that's another thing that happened this year. The name of the Family History Library changed to Family Search Library, which is very important. We had Sons of the American Revolution sponsored two historic photograph workshops. And so it was very hands-on. If Deborah wasn't there, I wouldn't have been able to do that because she was able to really pass that around and sometimes just show the demo of glass versus, you know, no background versus background. So she did a lot with all of that. So between all of that, it's just like, it was so tired. I was constantly, it's like I had a presentation at least one every single day of the conference. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I think I broke away that last day after Donald and I had our live stream. And I think live stream is always another extra layer of pressure because, you know, there's no edit button here. Now they will eventually, if you did something really stupid, they will edit that out before, you know, it's like being recorded live, everyone is watching live, and then it immediately does go up the unedited version, which Donald and I found that out. because the beginnings that they tell you what is happening is not exactly what happens at the very beginning. And so we had this moment that they had to kind of restart us again. And that whole restart was all still in the video that went up, which unfortunately, like almost 500 people watched that version. The edited version, only like, you know, 50 people have watched that version. I'm like, well, great. But, you know, so you got this extra layer. And I think it wasn't until after we had that session and it went so well that, you know, Sean Astin was going to be there this year. And so Sean Astin was there on Saturday. And I was like, I need to break away and just... because I hadn't been to the main stage all week. There was just too much going on. And getting in the main stage and seeing the lights and seeing that ginormous stage and the screen and people getting so excited and just that was the buzz. And of course, David Allen Lambert was sitting right next to me and we're giggling over Sean Astin and taking selfies. And I'm like, that's, and then there were several selfies I took in that booth at the time. So it was like, there's just, I finally was starting to reconnect with what RootsTech always did feel like to me that no other conference can provide. And it was like, I finally was getting it. And it's like, oh, there it is. There's the buzz. It was here all along. Yes. It was just me. I was too tired. And that's another thing. Well, who was it that was talking about dehydration during the conference and how important that was, you know, to the speaker group, I think. Was it Nicole, maybe? Was it Nicole Dyer saying that?
Well, they were saying it on Facebook beforehand, too.
That's what I mean. Yeah, one of the speakers. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's no joke. And it's very intense.
Well, and also, it's almost like, well, you went to those early ones, but of the three I went to, I went to like a, what had become like a normal one. And then when we hit the 2020, that was one of the largest ones. And I mean, that Saturday, we were right across the street from the palace and the front doors in the hotel. And the kids that were just all over the place, you could almost getting in the doors and out of the doors. I mean, and it was the largest it has been. And it made this year look like it was really small in some ways.
Right, right. And even they did have the youth event on Friday night, because I stumbled upon it. It just so happens I was down in the lobby. We stayed in the hotel that was attached to the conference center, now the brand new one. And I heard techno music going as I was in the lobby, and I'm going, that doesn't sound like it's in the hotel. And I looked over and there was the lights of the main stage going and a bunch of people. And I'm going, I bet that's the youth, because they didn't announce to anyone else that this was happening. So I snuck out, and it was their after party event. And yeah, it was a significantly smaller group of kids, but not honestly, I'm going to say only about half. I mean, there was still a ton of kids. I took some pictures when I was there. And no, that year that they did in 2020, I remember I was there, like I was there because I just thought it was another late night at the exhibit hall, and I was having a great time walking around having a, you know, and all of a sudden the entire room just floods, and I'm just like salmon swimming upstream. I'm like, help me get out of here, help me get out. And yeah, that was, and of course that's the year of COVID, you know, we all got home and got sick. So I'm not surprised. But this year, hey, I haven't heard of anybody talking about getting sick. So that's actually really good, because that could have been a super spreader. But yes. I think that was really, really good seeing. So, yeah.
I wanted to ask a question real quick. When you guys attend in person, do you go in with, is it better to go in with a game plan of what you're trying to get accomplished while you're there, or just kind of search things out? Because what I was finding is that I was, when I knew I wasn't going to be there. So what I did, they had sent me information because I was going to be speaking. And then it also had the other speakers there in session. So I went in knowing, okay, hey, I'm going to be definitely interested in and seeing this person speak. And if I can't see it live, then with me knowing it was going to be recorded, I can go back. But what I found is, when I was looking for things that I knew I was going to be interested in, I found, you know, other things. Like, for example, it's a lot of information. So for someone like me who has never been, how could I keep from getting, you know, a little bit overwhelmed and just maybe go see what would really help me in particular, or any individual, if they knew they needed help in certain areas, and then maybe try to, on the backside when they got home, okay, yeah, I can go back and do this, because I know it's 3 days, but 3 days can go by real quick, especially if that is that much information.
Yeah.
And trying, I guess basically I'm asking how not to get overwhelmed and get the best out of it live or virtually.
I think a plan is a good idea in a sense, especially if you're going there in person. You want to look for those sessions that are not going to be recorded that you might be interested in, and make sure that take advantage of those, put them in your planner so that you can see those. And then just keep an eye out on, because my problem is I get in there and, you know, I look at the 8 o'clock time frame and it's like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, I'd like to hear that one. I'd like to hear that one too. And I can only attend one. You know, I can't clone myself. So you kind of have to pick the best. But if it's like only one of them is live and not going to be recorded, then the others I make note of so that I can watch them when I get home. Now, that's what I love about RootsTech being both virtual and in person in that sense. Because there's nothing like going there and experiencing it at least once.
And as someone that has only done it virtually, you know, in the last couple of years, and then also having to hit before they were doing that, I was just you know, kind of following it in the podcasts that I was listening to and the websites that were talking about it after the fact. I agree with Linda, but you also may want to think of it as any research trip that you would take, or even any vacation you would take, and do as much upfront as you can, planning it, seeing, like she said, picking out the ones that are going to be virtual. Okay, I can hit that one whenever I get home, but this one is going to be live. And really almost kind of have a timeline for yourself to be able, and I didn't do this. I'm speaking from experience of not doing it and wishing I had, because now I'm going back looking for ones and like, oh crap, that one was only live. So, you know, trying to do as much prepping as you can beforehand, but also leaving enough in there where it's kind of hitting a happy medium of don't overplan, but also be open for, oh, this one just came up for whatever reason, and I really want to see this one, because maybe 2 days before you were doing research and you found a new hole and you're like, oh, this one may actually address that. You know, so I would definitely plan as much as you can ahead of time.
And you have to be flexible, because you wanted to allow time for the exhibit hall and to be able to go through that and really, because that's some of the
eating is important. Eat
comes in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Sleeping, I forgot eating, that.
Yeah. Resting your feet.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. Sometimes I would take a little break and go back to the room and have a little snack. Cause we, you know, and then next thing I know, I'm asleep. Like I've literally fallen asleep for 10 minutes straight, full dreaming everything. And I'm just like, yeah, I need to pace myself a little bit more. But I have to say too, another thing with the larger crowds in the years past, one of the things, yes, I would agree. I feel bad for the other speakers when it's like full on live stream. It's just like, I will usually count you out immediately. I'm just like, if I know you're going to be recorded and I can watch you when I get home, I will strike you out. I don't want to attend you in person. Cause I've flown all the way out here. I want to see as much as I possibly can. Then because the class sizes used to be, or the classes used to be so more, way more full, with the larger crowd, I would prioritize about my top three that I wanted to see. And therefore, if it was too crowded, I couldn't get in, or if I wasn't sure whether it was something I really wanted to hear, I would sit towards the back. And if it wasn't quite what I was doing, I would literally sneak over to the next two priority to see if I could get that. And then yes, it's very important. I would schedule it. Now, what's great about the main stage stuff is that the main stage has its own time slot. So there's no classes competing with the main stage. So you can take a breather and sit in there and really enjoy the buzz and the energy of Roots Tech and the big name speakers. Those are really cool. But then there are some times when I would go through that list and go, you know what, this time slot, I'm going to dedicate to the exhibit hall, because the exhibit hall is actually very important. I can't emphasize that enough. There's so many people that you talk to, so many different products that you're sometimes brand new, like sometimes they debut at Roots Tech, and to be able to kind of have that. And there's so many classes, little demos going on in the exhibit hall. Every one of the major companies, Ancestry, MyHeritage, even BYU had a huge demo thing going on in there. That's literally like every 15 to 20 minutes. I mean, I took a picture of a couple of the schedules going, oh my gosh, do I need to pop in here at some point? So all of that planning is, and I will say too, Lynn and I, well, I've made a habit of this every time I go to Roots Tech, is I will usually go in a few days ahead of time because I know that I want to hit the library. Now this year that didn't work out for me just because I was working too much on this, too many sessions. So, but that's actually another good thing to kind of pace you, because the travel itself, you get in, you're freakishly tired, and then you've got to kind of recoup that you're in Salt Lake City. You go to the library, spend the day, you know that you're getting your money's worth because you're spending it in that beautiful, beautiful library and just researching so much and getting a really big bang for your travel buck. And then by the time that the conference hits, Linda constantly goes through, I know she goes through these battles of classes or the library, like constantly. Another thing too, though, with the more recent years, the syllabus material has been up online. Some of that was available, even if you didn't register, I think, for the on-site, some of those were available. So I also would make, that's part of my prioritization. I would also kind of go back and peek at some of the syllabi. And you know what I mean? Like, oh, is this the kind of class I really want? But yeah, I would usually identify my top three and go from there. But yeah, and again, schedule specific things like exhibit hall time and food, depending on your food schedule. That's also very important.
Yeah. And the exhibit hall tended to close by what, like 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Something like that. So you only have the daytime to go through it.
And the last day it closed early. It closed at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of surprised about, but I shouldn't be, because they've done that every year. I think what it is by that time, you're having so much fun. You get to the point where like, oh, it can't end. No, wait, it can't close early. That's crazy. And so, but I can only imagine how tired they are, because they've been in there all week setting up that booth. You know, I mean, they're probably ready to go home.
By that a lot point. Of them presented as well.
Yes, they did. Absolutely. So they're really tired. Hopefully we will know that tiredness next year. SAR is looking into making a big showing next year. Let's hope we get there as far as in the exhibit hall. You know, clearly we were there this year speaking, but we'd like to step it up a notch and do both. So, but yeah, which is why I'm glad we're talking about it a year out. Isn't that nice for planning purposes?
Yes,
absolutely.
I would definitely create a spreadsheet, a timeline.
Or an Airtable, which is cloud-based.
Anything.
You can pull that up on your phone. There's your schedule right there.
Yeah.
And you've got the planner that RootsTech provides too, that you can.
That's true. Yes.
Flexible.
So that's true.
But this year they didn't release that until like what? Two weeks before, maybe.
Yeah.
That was a little crazy.
Did you, Donald, did you happen to download the app at all? Did you try to do that?
Which app are you talking about?
There was a RootsTech app. I'm thinking maybe no, I don't think they didn't really market that to the virtual attendees, did they? I think that's more for on-site.
Okay. Yes, because it's funny because I would get information, and then when it got closer to the conference starting, it seemed like I would get reminders, not only about my speaking stuff, but I would get like emails that would link me to like other companies. Like I was getting them from RootsTech, but I was also getting stuff from Family Tree, stuff from Ancestry saying, hey, we're sponsoring, you know, here's some information. But I don't recall getting anything that said, hey, you can go here and download an app or anything.
Okay.
I'll have to go back and check. Now, would I just go to, like, for example, if I was going to do it on my phone, just go search for a RootsTech app and I should be able to pull that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I think, because I know about 2 weeks before, Sherry and I were looking for us. I made a comment like, where's even the app? Because there was nothing anywhere about it. And we went and looked and it was like, oh yeah, it's coming. Or
it was
like really last minute. And I'm thinking it's because of that proximity to when it was opening, the reason why they probably didn't do a lot of buzz about it.
Yeah.
But it's been very helpful in the past.
Yeah. And think about,
I was going to say, I think there was a whole lot of new people behind the scenes, more so than usual, because it seemed like just the whole advertisement for RootsTech took longer before, especially for the in-person part.
Right.
It was like, you can't say 2 weeks ahead of time that RootsTech is in person and expect people to be able to travel and get there and stuff.
Right. Part of it is too, this is their first hybrid event. This is the first one. So as we experienced, you know, there was going to be bugs with the completely virtual events, which we had during the years of COVID, and they did a fantastic job. There was, you know, yes, some little bugs every once in a while, but for them to pull that off, that was fantastic. So this year, this is a first hybrid event. So you've got 200 in-person classes, which some of them are live streamed. Then you've got another couple hundred that are virtual only, that are video submissions. So this idea, that team had to have gotten bigger, almost double, I think, as far as the employees and the staff behind how to make this. And they pulled it off. I mean, yes, I would agree. I wish the app had been around, because Donald, if you join the app, you can literally click and say, add this to my schedule. And that's how I was doing my own freaking classes. I was going to add my class so that I could pull it up and go, wait, what is this one? And what room am I in? So that's good. We did hear some grumblings from people about they couldn't pull up, even though that the syllabi was connected to the app, that you couldn't open it somehow in the app, or you couldn't download it.
You couldn't access it from a computer.
No, I accessed mine. Well, see, they took it away. They changed that, because early on, I downloaded all the ones I wanted. They were there.
Right. But on the PC. There when I tried. Yeah.
And then they changed. And then on the phone, and people are going, well, how can I download that syllabus? So there's a whole lot of stuff that happened. So I'm not sure. But I do love being able to download the syllabi when that's all available. Yes. And be checking back, I think, with some of that will be still. In fact, some of my old syllabus material that's still in the on-demand classes, the syllabus, that's still there, still available to be downloaded for most of my classes. So yeah, and again, now we all pivot for the rest of the year to the on-demand stuff because so much of it was recorded. And one thing you did mention, Linda, you said about advertisement for RootsTech. I mean, they have the whole influencers group, you know, where we advertise ahead of time, supposedly organically, you know, with our own little platforms and such. But I think, and I don't know whether this was on purpose. I can't speak to the organizers, but the idea, I think that the announcement for Sean Astin was so late in the game. I just can't imagine. I know they would have had bigger numbers had they announced his name earlier, because literally my brother was flying out of Salt Lake City like a half an hour before he took the main stage. And then they had Adasa, who was a guest from Encanto, singing. My brother was so ticked. He was like, are you serious? Because I sent him the video clip of her singing the Bruno song. And it was like, he would have totally attended. He would have been there. And he'd have paid the $100 to go see all of that. But he didn't know about it. And he'd already had his plane ticket. And I think a lot of people, you cannot, in this day and age, with the plane tickets being as high as they are, you cannot expect someone to go, oh, look, Sean's going to be there. Let's pop over. Only if it's local. Only local people can do that. Or within, you know, a drive, you can't do that for flying. And so I would prefer, as an improvement, I would prefer that they release the biggest names possible as early as possible to start the buzz. That's where you're building the buzz. And, but, you know, again, it could have been maybe a little fear on maybe we don't want as big of a conference as we've had because this is our first year back, because we don't know what COVID's going to do. They didn't. When they planned this, they didn't know. We didn't know whether we were going to. I mean, I bought masks before we left because I'm like, I don't know. We're not hearing any stories about the numbers being high, but it was still a concern, you know?
Yeah. And
there were some with masks. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Not many. There were some. There were a whole lot of hugging going on and a whole lot of, you know, selfies and everything. We were right in everybody's business, if you know what I mean. So that was a good test, I think, of a conference. And I'm hoping, because in years past, it was the biggest, which is interesting too, the biggest name was usually announced well ahead of time. It was the opening session, not the ending session. So this is a whole kind of flip concept. And I'm okay with them being the ending session. That's fine. It's just, I wish they would announce it a little bit earlier, you know, to get more people.
And we didn't know if his schedule had something or, you know, his or her schedule had something to do with it too.
Technically, it's just the announcing part. Like, you know, they contracted pretty early, I'm sure.
I mean, I'll go on record right now saying I'm okay having three big names.
Oh, totally.
I'm okay with that.
Yes. I mean, Jordan Sparks was a big name as well. I mean, she was a big draw. Was she the opening, the keynote?
She was. But, okay. And sadly,
I didn't get to go either.
You can still see it though.
That's true. You can still see it online.
Yeah.
And what I love about these big names though, when they do come in, the celebrity guests, is that they all have a really personal story to tell. That's just so inspirational. So it's always worth it to go back and rewatch all of these. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not only just how it's personal story. It's how, again, going into the, how can genealogy be turned into other places, other thought processes, because what I think of genealogy and what Donald thinks of genealogy and what all of us think of it can be four different ideas of it. And for them to be able to bring in people, the bigger name people, that can turn something that we think of as one way into something totally different is really awesome to me.
Yes. And that genealogy is like inspirational in many ways, which then these people oftentimes draw that inspiration to produce something else that just not in our wheelhouse, you know, like a new song or a movie or whatever, you know. And so it's impactful for all of us in its own way.
Yeah, Deborah, I'm actually glad that you stated that, because that's one of the things that I mentioned during Sherry and I, our talk on the webinar that we did. It's it's like I have a story. I'm working on some things that I purposely did not discuss on our presentation for a lot of different reasons. One, I wanted to keep things under the vest until I got some things, verified. Definitely, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, so to speak. But another thing that I mentioned during that talk was encouraged other folks to, start doing research, or if someone like myself reaches out, I know some people are guarded because, for example, I've had people reach out to me and I've been more than happy to help them. I kind of mentioned it in the talk that we had. I've actually had some people that have come up on Ancestry as DNA matches, and they're completely, European, don't have any African-American DNA at all. And somehow we're cousins, which I did my DNA and I come back almost 38% European. I knew it was going to be some, but I didn't know I was over a third, European, which I have no problem with that. But I know sometimes it can be conflicting for others. So like you said, there's four of us in this talk, and we may have four different ideas. So I'm glad you mentioned that and that this is getting recorded, because like you said, you want to encourage folks. And, like I mentioned, you may think something's not a big deal, but when you share and you know that that's fact. Now, I also told people, if you're not 100% sure, don't post it. But if you know it's a fact and you can prove it, I encourage them to post that, because there's little nuggets of information that you may not think is important, but to another person doing research or their family, it could open up a plethora of ideals, information, like you said, information, encouragement. It could add to their family history, and you may have done somebody a huge, huge favor.
We don't know where the pebble that we drop into a river or a stream or a pond, and those ripples that reach out, we don't know who it's going to affect or influence or help or encourage. And so being able to, especially as a white, researcher, I do have records in my history that they name the slaves. So why do I hoard that? I shouldn't be hoarding that any more than I do the white records, because I don't know who it's going to help. Trace those slaves down if I can, find out what happened to them, and then that way, and I've posted it on a couple of blogs that I've got and everything, where I've followed those down. And a woman reached out to me and she said, "Thank you so much for doing this. This was my great grandfather," where I was able to find and get all the way down to probably about the 1920s or 30s, and she was able to pick it up from there. And we don't know who is going to find, like you said, find encouragement to that, or even be able to pick up the rest of the story. Like Linda said earlier about somebody that knows the county history, you may have a nugget of that county history that no one else has ever thought of or even contemplated. Mm-hmm. So, and we shouldn't, the last thing I'll say is, when we go and look for records and find stories that are not told, we cannot be upset that no one has told our story if we're not willing to tell our story.
True.
Very well. Yes. Very well. And not trying to steal any thunder from Sherry, but my goal is to start my own podcast and launch it by the end of the year. So before I forget, if I could just put this out here, because I know she has an audience. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's not launched, but it will be called Unearth, like plural. UNEARTHED, Unearthed Roots. If anyone wants to contact me, I'm looking for potential people like you guys who are researchers to interview, or like you were saying, people who tell their stories is inspirational. I'm looking for genealogists to talk to, individuals. I want it to be not only research-based podcast, but also individual stories that would inspire other people. So if anyone wants to reach out, I'm currently building that. I've got someone helping. We were trying to get a website launched, but in the meantime, I've set up an email. Again, UNAR THED, Unearthed Roots, ROOTS, at yahoo.com. I mentioned it in our webinar, but I wanted to put that out there. So you guys, if you know you're listening to podcasts or you have groups or Facebook groups that you're in, that you're involved with, I would appreciate you guys as, you know, researchers passing that along. So I'm trying to build something. What I want to eventually do is have it be a destination where people will come and I will give them the opportunity and the platform to tell their stories. And like Deborah was saying, because you never, and I like how you put that, you said you never know how that pebble is going to, you know, ripple in a stream, because, you know, we have shows on TV and you know which one I'm talking about. The only folks you're going to see on there are famous people. Well, heck, they have dollars and millions of dollars. They could pay for that, whether they were on that show, and they're getting all that for free. But the common folk like us, we don't have it. So I'm not trying to be the next host of that show. I'm trying to be the first Donald Shore. I'm trying to, you know, be there for the common folk, so to speak, you know, us everyday people who have a passion, but maybe not have the resources or the opportunity to tell those stories and share. So like I said, I'd like to do a combination of genealogists and researchers like you, as well as individuals. So again, okay. Sherry, I apologize.
Not a coming attraction. Coming attraction.
It's live.
I'll tell you what's great about that, though, is as Deborah mentioned earlier, that's the beauty about podcasting, is that once you get into listening to podcasts, you just want more anyway. So it's all about curating your listening experience. So the more podcasts, the merrier, honestly, in all of this, especially telling genealogy stories. I know there's a lot of how-to genealogy podcasts out there and such, but I love the ones too that tell those stories. And like you guys, I think it's hilarious that you guys both talk about the ripple effect for a couple of reasons. Number one, oh gosh, back in, it was either 2012 or 2014, I wrote, I had a different blog. It was called Journeys Past. It was like through the old blog post, Blogspot platform. It's still out there, actually, by the way. But one of the most, by far the most popular posts I ever did was called The Roots Tech Ripple Effect. And it was all about how Roots Tech is the type of conference that it has such an effect on people as they leave, you know, that for years, there's always something they learn there every year that will reverberate on. And like we were talking about the inspiring stories that just inspire, you know, along. And like you're talking about the research and the ripple effect, I found it to be hilarious that you talk about a pebble going in. I'm a more fan of boulders going in, so that it can really, really affect people on the generations that are coming up behind us, get their attention, you know, and inspire people further. But this has been great, you guys. This has been, I think that's the point of Roots Tech, is that ripple effect. And it ties so much into the ripple effect of our research and those stories that we're uncovering and that we're sharing. And like Deborah said, if you don't tell your own story anyway, if you don't help to tell, you know, all of this, we're going to lose it anyway. So just, you know what, keep going, keep making more ripples, everybody. And thanks for jumping into the deep end and speaking at Roots Tech this year. This was all three of these folks, this was their first time speaking there, and they all did a fantastic job. And so hopefully we'll see them speaking at future Roots Techs coming up in the next years. And so be watching for all of these. And I know, Linda, you have a website as well. What's your website?
TwinOaksGenealogy.com.
Twin Oaks. And Deborah, if anybody wants to get a hold of Deborah, her contact, oh wait, it's a general contact on the website, isn't it? The SAR.org website. You can see her picture and her name. But if you want to put out your email, you're more than happy to do that. I mean,
it's just dmaddox, M-A-D-D-O-X at SAR.org. Yeah. Or if you contact the regular website, you know, or regular website, but the SAR website, and say, hey, I'd like to speak with her, they can forward the email to me. That's not a problem either.
Great. So if you find Deborah's picture, underneath there's an email address, and it goes to the general genealogy email address. So that's what she's, you know. So if you forget her email address, just look for her picture and click on that and say, you want to talk to Deborah, and that'll get to her. So, and Donald has already given everybody the email address, so people can follow up with Donald. And I do know that out of this group already, since we have just, I know it's only been 2 weeks since we came home. No, actually it's not even been 2 weeks since we came home yet. But since the conference ended, we've all had additional contacts come out of the woodwork already, contact us post-conference. And I know that actually continues, especially Donald, you'll probably see more of it over the year, because live stream recorded, it's interesting. People, again, that ripple effect, people will contact you usually throughout the year, because they'll have time to watch it. And it, it is now, gosh, there's been so many years, that is by far the largest free genealogy education site anywhere is rootstech.org. Go to the on-demand stuff and, oh my gosh, you could watch for years, I believe. I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I definitely, like I told you during while we were talking, I definitely appreciate being able to talk with you, because I think it will not only help myself, but allow me to network and grow. And I've just been so inspired since that day we talked, and watching other things, and drew even more information. Deborah, Linda, nice meeting you guys. And I appreciate the words of encouragement and the suggestions. And, you know, God willing that I will get contacted. I'm a talker, and I love to communicate and ask questions. And so hopefully this thing will grow. And even based on today, maybe some folks will reach out and talk, you know, because there are things that need to be told. And just like Deborah said, you know, sometimes people may have information, and I really like your train of thought, Deborah, where you said, hey, it's our responsibility to share. Hopefully that will encourage.
Oh gosh. Yeah. So yeah. Just keep making ripples, y'all. I know we'll hear more from you guys as you come out. Some of the things we mentioned today, even email addresses and such, my website, once the episode does go live, I do have a Bloodroot tab on my website. So the episode will be posted. People could literally listen there if they don't want a podcast platform to listen to. They literally could just go to genealogyliteracy.com, look for the Bloodroot tab at the top. And not only will there be a link to listen to it, but there I'll also post some supplemental info. I know we've all mentioned links and websites and emails, and I will post all of that below that. So if anybody forgets something, that's a good way to check in. So, all right, everybody, I think we can safely say Roots Tech was a huge success this year. And we were all just very super excited to be involved and forward to how it's going to evolve in the future, because it just keeps getting better and better every year. So thank you all. This has been great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry.
Today's poetry gem is entitled On Virtue by Phyllis Wheatley. Oh, thou bright jewel, in my aim I strive to comprehend thee. Thine own words declare wisdom is higher than a fool can reach. I cease to wonder, and no more attempt thine height to explore, or fathom thy profound. But, O my soul, sink not into despair. Virtue is near thee, and with gentle hand would now embrace thee, hovers over thine head. Fain would the heaven-born soul with her converse, then seek, then court her for her promised bliss. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to the Bloodroot Podcast, written and produced by your host, Sherry Daniels. For more information, please visit my website at genealogyliteracy.com/Bloodroot. If you have a question that needs answering, a topic that needs to be covered, or a story to share, send me an email or direct message me via my social media accounts. If you have the Anchor app, you can leave me a voice message that may be included in a future episode. The platform used to produce this podcast was Anchor, with music provided by Anchor and Purple Planet. Again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for a quick peek at our next episode.
Next time on the Bloodroot Podcast, the improved order of red men and their surprising origins. Join me next time as I unpack the meaning behind a fraternal organization that my Eastern Kentucky great-grandfather belonged to back at the turn of the 20th century. Do you have any members in your family tree?